Blog Talk Radio.
All right. I thought there was going to be some intro, but I guess not. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Zen Garcia. This is Fallen Angels TV, and I'm here with co-host Laurel Austin, and we have a special guest, Landy Cryer. Landy, are you there, sister?
Yes, hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our honor. Thank you for taking the time to join us this evening. And Laurel, you're there too, sister?
I'm here. Hello.
Okay, excellent. Landy, I want to give you a chance to just talk about your websites where people can go to find and support your work and the things that you're involved in, and then we'll go forth.
Okay, I am involved with VacTruth.com as well as StopMandatoryVaccination.com, and I just launched a website called DangersOfVaccines.com.
Excellent. How long have you been involved in doing the advocacy for the different groups that you are involved in?
Well, it started. My story with the vaccine started back when my oldest son, who is now 18, he wheezed after he received a DTaP vaccination. And, you know, I asked his doctor about that and all of that, and she kind of dismissed it and told me that the vaccine, there's no way could have made him wheeze. And so we trusted the doctor and continued to vaccinate him, and he ended up with full-blown asthma, pretty severe. We had a lot of hospitalizations as a child, and ICU a time or two, and just lots of upper respiratory problems. And so later on, I had a third child, who's my son, who's now 10, and I allowed them to do a couple of the vaccines in the hospital, and then went back at 2 months, and I wasn't comfortable getting them all, so I think he only got two. Well, he screamed the whole day and did not do well with those two vaccines. One of them was DTaP, which is the one that I had was suspicious of causing my older's asthma. So I just stopped. I stopped vaccinating him. I said, you know, I'm not going to make him sick. I feel like he's going to get asthma or something if I continue. Then when he was 5 years old, he was injured by a metal scooter. He was riding his scooter and cut by metal. And it was actually in Hollywood out here in California. And we went to the LA Children's Hospital, and they pressured me so much. There were several doctors that came in. They just kept pressuring me to get the DTaP vaccine, which had the tetanus in it, because he was cut by metal, which would not have even protected him. So I don't know why they were pushing me so hard to get the vaccine. But I did go ahead and cave and let them give him that one vaccine. Excuse me. And he ended up going into full-blown anaphylactic shock from the vaccine. So that really set me in motion to do a lot more research and stop trusting the doctors. And I found out that a lot of these adverse effects, like asthma and anaphylactic shock and all of that, was written right on the vaccine insert. So that's when I got started with that. But then when they started passing the laws out here in California is when I got more active in fighting them.
Can you talk about those laws? And isn't it now three states that have basically kind of intimidated the parents into it's like mandatory now? Then because my cousin just had a baby and he's in California too, and I had been warning him, told him to do the research, sent several videos and things, and in talking to the doctors there, he was able to get his daughter Abby from being some of the vaccines. They decided that she wouldn't need them, but they're basically still having him do many of them, and he feels like he can't, you know, get away from that. And so is that your experience, and isn't it like three states that are, you know, regimented in such a way?
Yes, it's West Virginia, Mississippi, and California, I believe. But as far as that goes, you know, they can't force you to to vaccinate. You know, they can deny her her public right to an education, which is unconstitutional, and people need to start suing over that right there. But, you know, they can't force you to take the vaccines. I mean, she could be homeschooled. She could, you know, if that was a possibility. But I have a medical exemption based on this life-threatening reaction that my child had, but that's pretty much what you have to have. You have to have a life-threatening situation. That's how the CDC guidelines read. Now, Governor Jerry Brown, when he passed this law, he you know, also put a letter with it that said, doctors can write medical exemptions based on family history. So if you have a sibling that had, you know, an anaphylactic reaction to a vaccine, then you can get a medical exemption for the other sibling so that you don't have to go through that again as a parent. Because a lot of times, it's, you know, there's something genetic that's related, and you'll see siblings having similar reactions. Like sometimes you'll see two or three kids who all get autism, and they have like the same genetic profile, or not, you know, or a similar genetic profile. So Governor Brown did allow for medical exemptions, but what's happening is just the propaganda, the nature of the propaganda out here in California is such that people don't realize they do have a choice and they can say no.
Yeah. This is their first child, and he's not, you know, an advocate. I mean, he does know somewhat about the New World Order, and he's studied about it and looked into it and understands it, but his wife and his wife's family, they're not up on any of that kind of stuff. And so he's kind of like lone wolf, and then feels almost like black sheep, you know. And then the family, kind of what they did to you, Laurel, when you wanted to not vaccinate your third child, and but then everybody kind of ganged up on you, and you know,
yeah,
kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where he's at with it, and so yeah, I mean, even as much as I warn him, he's not willing, I guess, to go that extra step. And I just pray that, you know, that whatever vaccines they do take, that they don't harm her. And I know that it affects males a lot more. But I mean, taking any of them, I don't see how you can really get away or avoid some kind of adverse reaction, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, they're all full of poison, and
right,
poison is poison. So whether you spread it out, you know, or take it all at once, you know, it's still,
yeah,
poison,
exactly,
regardless of how you do it.
Yeah. And even one, you know, cause, the cancer viruses and all the weird stuff that they're putting in it, just even one, taking one shot, that at some point we don't know, you know, it could, cause there's so many kids now that are developing cancers at young ages, that even, because cancer, usually you have to have like bad habits for a long time, and bad eating,
yeah,
habits and that kind of thing to develop it, you know, to make your body acidic and to cause the right kind of atmosphere for it to grow and to develop in. But yet now kids that just months, even less than a year old, and having brain cancers and things like that, it's just not natural. And in my mind, it's definitely the vaccines, and because they, you know, the ingredients, cancer viruses right there in the vaccines. I mean, how
right,
do you not
right,
correlate
and
that?
The CDC admitted that, you know, the simian virus was in there, that they grow in the monkey kidney cells. And, you know, Merck admitted it. They all admitted it. And CDC even admitted it. They gave polio vaccines to almost 100 million people. Now, they got caught that time and admitted it. Oh, a mistake. You know, they can always just say it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still cancer-causing chemicals. I mean, you can't have formaldehyde in your floors in California, but they can inject it into your child.
Right,
I mean,
right,
it's just ludicrous.
Yes.
So, yeah, and, you know, cancer is the leading cause of death in our children past infancy.
Right.
Why are our kids dying of cancer? Leukemia is the number one cancer for children. And is it, you know, a coincidence that formaldehyde is linked to leukemia?
Wow.
And it's blood poisoning. It's blood cancer. You know, they're injecting all of this into our children's blood.
Mm-hmm. Laurel, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just, my thoughts on this are why the mandate if vaccines are so healthy. And I've been seeing in the news and the even just entertainment where they're trying to coerce parents to vaccinate as if our healthy children somehow are a threat to their vaccinated children when, I mean, that vaccine should be protecting them if it does what they claim it does. And when the Disneyland measles incident happened, I believe that's when SB 277 was launched. Is that right, Landy?
Oh, yes. They use that as kind of a launch board to, and they always do that. They'll have some kind of either false flag or something to push some kind of agenda. But, yeah, the measles.
The measles Disneyland.
Yeah, that little epidemic where there was, you know, I don't know how many people total nationwide was 100 and something or less than 200. But, you know, they used that to push the law through. Absolutely.
Right.
Right.
And I believe that's when I found you. Right. Exactly. And I believe even a mother that had her baby in the doctor's office and had this post that went viral ranting against anti-vaxxers. It was later exposed of her that her dad worked for a major vaccine company and it was all propaganda.
He worked for GlaxoSmithKline, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember that.
Now, for those that don't know what we're talking about, can you elaborate and fill in the details? Because I'm sure some are like, Disneyland, what are they talking about? And so please expound upon that some. Landy?
Okay. Well, there was, or that's what they attributed to, is that someone came to Disneyland and they had measles. And they later said it was someone from another country, but that's a different issue. Because they always get caught in their lies. They want to say it's an unvaccinated person or something. And, you know, the MMR vaccine is a live vaccine and it sheds for up to 28 days. So it can spread measles months. It can spread that for up to 28 days. So that's what started is that someone came to Disneyland. I mean, such a great Hollywood story, right? And had the measles, and then someone got it, and then it kind of started a little outbreak, and more people got measles. So that's pretty much what happened. And then the next thing you know, we have 110 or 120 bills with the same exact language in 38 different states, all pushing, pretty much written by the same person, you know, by the same entity or the same system. And we have all these bills coming out. I mean, there were like 20 in Texas and, you know, all with the same type of language to take away our rights, basically. They're using it to take away our rights and you know, our choice.
Right. Yeah, how convenient that something like that. And then for them to push that one incident, you know, to bring out all these bills and have them all prepared, you know, it's just, again, no coincidences, and it just shows to in my opinion, to what degree they will go to in order to drive a particular agenda and how they have all that prepared, you know, to give to all the different news stories. You see the same news story being repeated in every mainstream channel across the country, every local media channel, ABC, CBS, or whatever, they're all repeating the same story and in the same way, just, you know, different broadcasters and anchor people.
Oh, absolutely. And I was interviewed by the Today Show when this was all going on, and I interviewed for like an hour, hour and a half. They literally edited me down to one sentence. If there's one choice we should have, it should be what's injected into our children. You know, just the one thing that I talked about the CDC whistleblower. I talked about how, you know, just all the facts, but they don't put that in there. It was all one-sided and it was about pushing the bill. And they ran a story like the day before he signed the bill. And yeah, but it's we're up against beasts. I mean, they're owned by the pharmaceutical companies, and I'm with you. I feel like there's a little bit more of a sinister agenda going on here. I think there's some population control things mm-hmm. going on. I think there's the New World Order stuff. You know, Bill Gates has been caught live on video, you know, saying that through vaccines and this and that, we can lower the population by such and such percentage. You know, I don't know if you guys have
right.
seen that video.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. Big time in the vaccine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I most certainly, I mean, it's undeniable if you look into all of what they say, even here, because I live in Georgia and we have the Georgia Guidestones about an hour and a half south. And, you know, the first thing on that, the Ten Commandments, basically in the New World Order, is to reduce the population down to a manageable size, you know, 500,000. And when there's like
wow.
6-7 billion people here on the
right.
earth. And so, yeah, I mean, they're not trying to hide it, and it's all in our face. And I don't know if you've heard about the they did this report from Iron Mountain. It was back in the 60s, and they were talking about the need to if we are going to have world peace, if the different elitist groups, if they could even allow world peace, and that they basically decided that they couldn't unless they had put into place other implements to keep culling the populations and to, you know, to keep reducing and have this depopulation agenda, because war serves that kind of a need in culling
mm-hmm.
the populations. And so that's when they
yeah.
you know, put it into play that they would basically poison the food and the water and inject us with poison through the vaccines and chemtrails and all of that. I mean, a lot of that leads and ties into those kind of meetings and those kind of gatherings and those kind of decisions, which we're lucky to even, you know, hear about, and some of that being made public. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff that is going on behind the scenes, and those kind of decisions being made by Bilderberger groups and stuff like that. And so most certainly there is something going on that we're not being told. And and with the rise, especially since 89, with the increase in the childhood vaccination, there has been so, I mean, it's just overwhelming now, the increase in just the difficulties among children with so many different things. And so can you talk about just your experience, what you've seen in, with the rise and the increase and being an advocate, what you see on the forefront with all this?
Yeah. Well, on that note of the agenda, you know, are you familiar with the Healthy People 2020 agenda?
No, I'm not, actually.
Yeah, and that's the plan to vaccinate all adults. You know, they're already starting with the propaganda, and the CDC
mm-hmm.
website already has a whole slew of vaccines recommended for adults. And on basically from cradle to grave, they want to be vaccinating
right.
you.
Yeah.
So this is what they're working towards. But as far as the learning disabilities and the problems that we're seeing in children, 1 in 5 now has a speech delay or learning disability. There's the numbers for autism. The CDC is still using 1 in 68, which was in 2010. That's 7 years ago. That was even less vaccines than they do now. Which I find that real convenient that they're still relying on a 2010 number, because they don't want to tell you the truth. But some numbers
right.
that I've heard as low as 1 in 28 children on the spectrum for autism. You've got 1 in about 9 or 10 who have asthma. Diabetes is on the rise. I mean, basically your peanut allergies, your anaphylactic allergies, anything, any chronic disease you can think of has risen with alongside all the vaccines. And, you know, medicine cabinets at schools are full of EpiPens and inhalers. And, I mean, you know, I went
right.
to grade school, you know, a long time ago. I won't age myself. But, you know, I don't remember ever seeing a kid with an inhaler or, you know, a kid, you know, there was like one special ed teacher, you know, who taught like 6 kids total for like the middle school and high school. I mean, you just did not have this. you know, and I'm sorry, we're still alive. We can testify that we went to school and kids were not banging their heads on the desk.
Right.
Okay? They cannot say this is better diagnosis. If it was better diagnosis, where are the millions and millions of adults with autism, you know, that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you know? It's not just better diagnosis. I mean, for them to even say that is to just show you how stupid they think we are.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's obviously a huge problem. And there, you know, with population control, who's going to take care of these kids? Who's going to fight wars for our country? Like, if half of our kids are autistic by 2025, which is what's been predicted if this doesn't stop, and, you know, we've had a rise in autism since they passed the SB 277 2 years ago. We've seen a rise of like 17% out here in California in autism,
right,
which is to be expected. We would, you know, that autism and all chronic disease will go up with more vaccine laws, as well as outbreaks. It's not just that we see the outbreaks. We see chickenpox outbreaks in schools. We're seeing mumps. All the colleges are having mumps outbreaks, and there's 100% vaccinated. You're seeing more and more outbreaks with more and more vaccines, which has historically always been the case, dating all the way back to smallpox.
Right.
Vaccines spread disease.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, the people, which is why it says in scriptures that, you know, my people are killed for lack of knowledge. How many people just trust government and believe the propaganda on mainstream news? It's like they're just complacent and willing to be ignorant, and it's convenient to be stupid, and it's sad because it's costing the, you know, their children's lives and struggle and lifelong struggle. And you're right, the detriment to this generation, especially here in America. I mean, with the genetically modified foods and all the fast foods and all the preservatives and all the, I mean, we are just bombarded on every level. And it's amazing that kids can even make it through all of this. It's just insane. Laurel?
Oh, I know. And they have them on psychotropic medications.
Right.
You know, you've got like tens of thousands of 2- and 4-year-olds on psychotropic medications. Well, you know, it's because they're screaming from vaccines because they're, you know, it's causing brain swelling and the parents don't know what's wrong with them. They're taking them to the doctors. Doctors are putting them on anxiety medication.
Yes.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then we have, you know, more depression, more suicide, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Destroying our society. That's what's happening.
They really are.
And we're getting hit from every direction.
Yes.
The food, the vaccines, you know, all of it.
Right. It reminds me of the passage where it says that unless the days be shortened, there should be no flesh left, because we are definitely in a dying generation, and a generation that the kids being bombarded and being diseased and just their minds being destroyed, they're not even able to take care of themselves. And oh my goodness. And then these kind of, you know, we have children that are having children on top of that, and just generation after generation. I mean, will we even be able to make it? You know, I mean, it's crazy. Laurel, did you want to comment or?
Yeah, I was really touched just thinking about who's going to take care of these kids, because my children that are vaccinated that have autism are now ages 25 to 30. And that's been on my mind so much that when I pass, who's going to look out for them? Right now, my most severe autistic child is in a apartment with a roommate, and they have staff come in at the evenings and the weekends, and he's in day services during the day. And it's about as independent of a setup as he's ever going to experience, unless by some miracle, through detox or what have you, he experiences some amount of recovery. And that's what we still pray for every day. But my younger children, I mean, is it going to be left to them to care for their older brothers? It's just, these are questions that we really need to be screaming about, because the parents right now that are having the babies, these are the parents that I personally want to reach, because they're the ones that are going to be vaccinating, and they just don't know what they're in for.
Right, right. Yeah, they just don't know what they're getting themselves set up. And it's a lifetime of struggle, and you know better than all of us, Laurel, and what you've had to go through with, you know, basically them blaming it on genetics and then pointing the finger at you, and the guilt, you know, that they try to force on you for thinking that there's something wrong with you or something wrong with your husband, or, you know, that it's the parents. And a lot of doctors know that, that there's got to be something going on. I mean, it just, as you said, Landy, it cannot be that there's not something more to all of these children's being affected in an adverse manner with all the cancer rates, the autism, the Asperger's spectrum disorders, which it reminds me, I wanted to ask you about this, if you had ever heard of or looked into the work of Dan Olmsted for United Press International and how he had done all of this work in studying the Amish community up in Pennsylvania and Ohio, and how they do not vaccinate their children, and how there is not this correlation, especially not as we see it in the regular American culture and populations, as far as the rise and increase in the predominance of autism and Asperger's spectrum disorders among their population.
Yes, I have looked into that. And when they did find autism in an Amish community, the child had almost always been vaccinated or lived. There was a case, I think, where they were living near or exposed to high levels of mercury nearby. So the mercury, you know, was key in that. But yeah, I definitely have. And, you know, homeschooled children have lower incidences of autism and lower incidences of health problems, and they have higher IQs. And, you know, most or a lot of homeschoolers don't vaccinate. You know, sometimes that's the reason they homeschool, so they don't have to deal with all the vaccine
rules,
you know.
Right.
But you see that homeschool kids are better off in just about every way, you know. And unvaccinated, too. There are 4 studies that span 25 years that show unvaccinated children, or non-vaccinated children, are healthier both emotionally and physically. And then they're not sick as much. They have, you know, like you're 22 times more likely to get ear infections if you're vaccinated. There's, you know, all the chronic diseases and all of that are happening in the vaccinated population.
Mm-hmm. I know also that you living in California right now, that you are transitioning or trying to transition to leave the state because of the, the tyranny of the whole mandatory vaccination, the scene that is going on there. And so can you talk a little bit about that and share your testimony with regard to that?
Well, I think what kind of convinced me that, you know, it's time to get out of California. Well, one, SB 277 passed, and I just couldn't believe it, you know, but they passed it in the face of so much opposition. The security guards at the courthouse were telling us that at the Capitol, they were telling us that in 20 years of being there, they had never seen this many people show up to protest a bill, to speak out against it. And yet these senators were bought off and paid for and didn't care. And they passed it anyway. You know,
describe,
and so that
the
was the first thing. And then I passed SB 277 and Senator Pan. And then, you know, but I had my medical exemption because, you know, I had the severe reaction with my son. So I was able to get that. So, you know, I was able, and he was in a charter school. So, you know, everything's okay. Like, we're not going to have to vaccinate, which I would not have done. I would have homeschooled because I would have been able to do that. Some people can't homeschool, you know, they have to work or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, we're fortunate enough that I didn't have to. But, the second thing, what really got me out of California, is Senator Pan, the same senator that introduced SB 277, introduced another bill. It's called SB 18. And that's basically a bill that says that the state decides basically, well, that it was a bill of rights for children. So every child is entitled to an adequate education, adequate health care, adequate this, adequate that, you know, the states deciding, the experts, you know, the bought off pharmaceutically funded experts, the ones on the payroll of a pharmaceutical company, are going to be the ones deciding what's best for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill read such that if you did not provide your child with adequate health care, which would be what, 72 vaccines,
right,
then, you know, your child could be removed and placed in foster care. And,
right,
you know, the CPS foster care system in California is so corrupt. There's been so many kids die in the foster care system. There's been sex trafficking. I mean, it's heinous, okay? You do not want your kids in the foster care system out in California.
Isn't it privatized, too? Is it? Because I saw, like, a story about a judge that was found to be paid off, and he was basically sentencing these kids privatized facilities where they were being exposed to a lot of what you were talking about. With the sex trafficking.
There's been a lot of corruption in the CPS. And in fact, there's been a couple of cases where people were successful suing, you know, them over some stuff because it was so bad. And so now that, you know, we have the whole Pizzagate and Pedogate thing going on. And here we come with SB 18. If you don't parent your child the way we think you should, you know, what if you want to send a lunch to school for your kid? Oh, well, that's not fair and equal. We think your child should be eating all the GMO stuff in the cafeteria.
Oh, my
gosh. So we're going to take your kid, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that was the bill that I said, you know what, I'm done. I cannot live in this fascist state anymore.
Right.
And, you know, now they are still working on that. They kind of have paused it because there was huge protest against it, of course. But this is what they do. They come at you with tons of stuff, and then they, you know, they end up passing just a little at a time. You know, I think it was Hitler who said, if you can take the rights away a little at a time, before you know it, no one will notice that they don't have any rights. That's what, I think Hitler said that.
Right,
so
right.
It's that same mentality out here.
Right.
It's that frog in the water.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, frog in the water. Very good.
Right.
Yeah.
I would also think that, you know, if they decide that they want to medicate your children, you know, for instance, like if you have a Asperger's or ADHD or something of that nature, and you don't want your children to have all of these heavy pharmaceutical psychoactive drugs, and that, you know, that would be part of it as well, because that makes the, you know, when the states pay for all of that and then they mandate that for your children, well, that's a huge bonus and surplus money for the pharmaceutical industries.
Yeah, that was all in there, and as well as agreeing to prenatal home visits and fiddle home visits after you have your baby. I'm just like crazy
stuff.
Oh my gosh. Like somebody wants the government in their house. Like, you know.
Right.
It's just crazy stuff. I'm like, this man is crazy. I mean, Senator Pan, he's just, you know, he's just, I don't know. But and they're already doing that. Like in Oklahoma, I think a mom lost her child because they had him on like 50 different drugs. And she just said, I don't want to give him all these drugs. And they took him away and put him in foster care. And now he's like suicidal and everything. Like, he wants to be his mother. It's so sad. He's like 14 or 15 now, but he was diagnosed at a young age with all kinds of problems. And he's vaccine injured, of course. And, you know, she didn't want to sit here and give him all these heavy psychotropic medications. And they had him on a whole bunch of stuff. So it's sad. And they took custody of that kid in Australia. I don't know if you guys have been following that case where
the mom had healed him.
Yeah. She healed him with cannabis and, you know, she was giving him to stop his seizures, and he's vaccine injured.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
about. Took the child
away.
Yeah.
Medical didn't he have two kind of, he had two kind of very strange cancers, and I believe I did see that story, and she gave him cannabis oil or something of that nature, and it was healing him, and it made him unsuicidal and like relaxed his mind and caused him to not, you know, because a lot of them overthink and overanalyze and overcritique, and just with, I guess, you know, to being vaccine injured, it messes with your mind that way and causes the OCD and ADHD and that kind of stuff. And it's just insane.
Well, I know for us, part of the conditioning were those well baby checkups, because we get conditioned to you know, 2 month appointment, 4 month appointment, 6 month appointment, 12 year appointment, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year. And each time is an opportunity for the doctor to bombard you with getting your child vaccinated.
Right.
Yeah, those are designed to train the parents, actually, because the child's immune system doesn't even really respond before, like, 6 months or something like that. You know, and that's the sad thing is that, you know, women should just be breastfeeding for immunity for their children. And,
right.
You know, they're pushing all this garbage in these kids, like, the day they're born. I mean, within hours of birth, they're receiving 225 micrograms of aluminum and
mm-hmm.
a hepatitis B shot, which is for a disease that is transmitted through blood and IV drug use and prostitution.
Right.
And you're giving it to a 5 pound baby that's 3 hours old.
Makes
right.
no
I mean,
sense.
It's just insane. Yeah, that right there should be a red flag for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, we were talking with Yana about the parents that go in there and that don't want their children vaccinated, and for the doctors and nurses that they will sneak these children off and vaccinate them anyways. And if you are, you know, against having your child being forced and inoculated and drugged up in such manner, they'll do it behind your back and they'll keep it off the chart. They won't even write it down in the record that they did it, you know, and they'll do it anyways. It's messed up.
That is just, and we have no rights. I mean, we should be able to sue people doing stuff like that. That's so unethical and
mm-hmm.
immoral. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around someone doing that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And these doctors and nurses too, they're just indoctrinated with this stuff. I mean, when they go to medical school, they're being taught by, you know, a lot of times the people on the pharmaceutical boards are, you know, pharmaceutical companies are on the boards of these colleges. I mean, a lot of these universities are receiving huge grants from, you know,
right.
the med schools are funded by pharma, you know,
right.
are they teaching doctors how to find out what's wrong with somebody or how to prescribe a toxic medication? You know, are they teaching them the ingredients in vaccines and about the harm? You know, that's the thing is people don't listen to parents. Parents are screaming. There are hundreds of thousands of parents the world over that claim that their children have been hurt by vaccines. Why
mm-hmm.
are the parents, the other parents, not listening to their peers?
Right.
They're continuing to trust this system and this government that they don't trust with a lot of other things, but
mm-hmm.
they trust them with their health. You know, that's what it's just, it's mind boggling.
It really is. And I was a witness to the opposite end of that spectrum because my father, they had messed up his mind in the hospital. He had a stroke while he was under their care, and they didn't diagnose it. And then they also tried to cover it up. And then every time he would have to go into to the hospitals for checkups or whatever, they would vaccinate them. And I told them over and over and over to not mm-hmm. vaccinate them, but they would always do it. And then he would just be disappeared for 2-3 days at a time. It would take them, every time they did it, it would take them longer and longer to come back. And it would just it would make me so mad. But but he
yeah,
had Alzheimer's and dementia, you know, that kind of thing. And they are doing that as well to the older generation.
And aluminum
yeah,
is linked to Alzheimer's, yes.
Right. Well, it just
yeah,
dries up your mind.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just
my mother just died in a hospital in October. It was, you know, and that's the thing is there's no one holding anybody accountable because, I mean, these people do. They cover their tracks. I mean, they.
Right.
You think they're going to admit they did something wrong, you know? And there's a lot of good, well-meaning people in hospitals. It, you know, it's a systemic problem. Like I said, it's a systemic problem. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've also noticed that there are some very evil people in the hospitals as well, and that there are people that are starving and dehydrating the older citizens, and they're also
mm-hmm.
lying to family members and telling them that, especially if it's a young child or a young person that comes in there that was in an accident or something, and especially if they're an organ donor, that they
mm-hmm.
can make a lot more money in getting access to the organs than they do in saving a person's life. And people don't understand that. And so many are organ donors, even if it's just to get the discount on the driver's license. You know, they'll say, okay, well, I'll do it, but they don't understand the repercussions of making themselves and labeling themselves that. It's really,
they can harvest those organs while you're alive.
Well, the only way they can take your organs is you have to be alive. And so they lie to the family members and say that you're either in a coma or you're brain dead or, you know, non-heart-beating death is what they say. But what really kills you is them taking your organs from you. When you die, your organs immediately deteriorate. And so you're not able to, you're not able to harvest organs from a dead person. And so they have to lie and come. They came up with all these other definitions for death, which are not really death, because what really kills you is them taking your organs. But that's a whole nother thing. But that's something I've also been covering. And it is all part of this, because there really is a sinister agenda going on. But let me give you both chance to comment. Landy?
On the organs,
whatever you want to, whatever you would like to comment or talk about.
I think the whole healthcare, they call it healthcare, but it's really sick care. But it's all geared. You know, they have the death panels and all that. I mean, it's all population control. And you know, if someone's older and they're not going to contribute to society or whatever, you know, I mean, it's sad. It's just that's where we are. And now we have so much of a sick generation coming up, and, you know, for the first time in history, you know, we'll outlive our children, you know, the way that it's going. You know, they won't live as long as we will, because they're so sick. I mean, we have all these kids with all these chronic diseases you used to really never see, even in people in their 50s and stuff, you know, like 40, 50 years ago.
Right.
You know, autism was virtually non-existent. You know, it was like 1 in 10,000 or, you know, whatever. I mean, just very, very rare. And now it's just commonplace, you know, and it's just, I'm very concerned, because I don't know, you know, what we're going to do. I really don't. You know, all we can do is keep telling our stories, keep talking to people, trying to spread the knowledge and, you know, spread our stories of what's happened to our kids and try to wake more people up. Because if people don't wake up, we are really headed down a bad path, you know, and until the end of the world, you know, it's not going to get any better.
Right. I fully agree. And the way that it looks, it can't be that far off, because, I mean, how much longer the numbers 1 in 68, I think they're way more higher than that it seems to me like every child is being affected adversely if they're getting vaccinated and multiple vaccines. And so the numbers are way higher than what we're being told. And they're,
well, I think like 1 in 3 kids has seizures now. I'm like, what?
It's insane. It is insane.
Yeah. Oh, they can be on seizure medication their entire life. That makes the pharmaceutical companies a lot of money.
Right. Yeah. A lot of money. Laurel?
Yeah. From cradle to grave, they want to keep us sick and make us sicker and then kill us off. I know when my children had their autism symptoms were starting to emerge, and neighbor's mother-in-law was visiting, and she looked over and saw the hand flapping and the echolalia. She said, you know, that boy is acting autistic. And I was like, autistic, what is that? I had no idea. I had never heard of autism before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I researched car seats, I researched high chairs, I researched cribs. And anytime you notice as a parent, when you're getting all these things, when you're having a baby, whenever there's a recall on one of these things, sometimes the manufacturer will even get sued. We as parents cannot sue the manufacturer. And I know this firsthand, we were in a class action lawsuit. And then when Andrew Wakefield had the smear campaign done against him, everything was dropped without discovery, without witness testimony. It was all dropped. And they said no more autism cases at all in court. So it was very, you know, a big blow to our family. Mm-hmm. But we need to research these things as parents because we're the ones responsible for our children's health.
Right.
Yeah, we need to reverse that law. We need to keep pushing and lobbying to have that repealed because, man, if we could hold them accountable, that would be a game changer. But, mm-hmm. but the economy would collapse, right? So,
right.
You know, I guess that's what they're worried about.
Well, you know, here's the other thing with that. Considering how expensive it is to take care of children that are vaccine damaged, and also think about how much debt our country has taken on since, you know, Obama and Bush and the 20-some trillion dollars now. At some point, the bill collectors are going to say no more, you know, and then the whole thing, the whole Ponzi scheme of just printing money is going to be ended. I mean, and nobody wants to even imagine that or even look at the end game of that happening, that occurring, because that will force everything to shut down. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way things are, the ongoing, continuous, just everybody being oblivious and ignoring. I mean, it can't go on forever. And that's the crazy thing, is at some point something's got to give. And
yeah,
they
not
want
a matter
the collapse. Mm-hmm. They want the collapse. That's what they're heading us towards.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And that's a scary thing because, people are struggling as it is, you know, just to maintain, mm-hmm. just to try to make it, just to put food on the table for their children. And a lot of people are dependent on government as well. And, oh, my goodness, it is a nightmare scenario, the whole thing, the way it's all come together. And I know for those people that are out there that, you know, that are doing fine and that everything's okay and you know, it's not affecting them in any way, even though there are so many struggling, still at some point things are going to turn upside down. The next day we're going to wake up and we're going to be facing a whole different world and
be like Venezuela or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I think people should be prepared. You know, you need to have some,
right.
You know, you need to know how to garden. You actually need to start growing your own food. That's
mm-hmm.
the only way you're going to actually know what's in your food. You know,
right.
Everybody needs to learn how to garden. You know, we're going to have to go back to that because we can't trust our
right.
food supply. I read just the other day that the elitist that owns the Amazon guy just bought Whole Foods in Austin.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I can't trust Whole Foods now, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, it's
totally.
Just ridiculous. They're buying up all the organic stuff. They're buying up everything. They're going to take control of everything, you guys. It's like,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I mean, when I move, I'm going to get some land where I can do more of a garden, hopefully, and provide a lot more of the things for my family that I know, you know, what's in them. For
right.
sure. Because, you know, when you go to the store and you see that organic or whatever, non-GMO, you're trusting that. You are. And, you know, right now, hopefully there's enough third-party verification. But when you have, you know, big giants buying up Whole Foods and
right.
Annie's and all the organic, the Cascadian Farm, I think, was bought, like, you know, you can't trust it.
Yeah, exactly. Because
the people that want to poison us.
Right, right. And they're the ones that, you know, label organic and all of grass-fed and all that when it's totally not. And it's just... all they have to do is put a label on it, and we don't know any different, you know? And so, yeah, it's really
good. You need to go back to local, you know, find someone local.
Right, community.
Get your beef, and you're, you mm-hmm. know, like, I have my own chickens, and, you know, I love having, you know, healthy eggs every day.
Awesome.
And I don't, you know, but, like, just things like that, you know, I think people are just going to have to start shifting back towards, and, you know, because that's really going to be the only way that some people will survive. Is knowing
right.
how to do things like that, because we don't know how bad it's going to be. when the dollar collapses, you know, or how long it's going to be. And I know I don't want to be standing in a government line waiting to be handed some bread. Okay. Like, I don't want to be wait till their handout of their poison, you know, or whatever it is they're handing out, or take their vaccines to get it.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
Right. Soup line.
That's what it's going to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Landy, do you see a lot of parents around you or families around you that are headed out of California the same way that you are?
I do, actually. A lot of my friends are, you know, and I met them through the vaccine movement because, you know, we were all rallying and fighting bills and traveling to Sacramento and stuff together. And so, but yeah, actually several of the people that I know in the state of California are moving out for the very same reason. Mm-hmm.
So California is about to take a big hit.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully it'll be significant enough to show them.
It's losing, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I mean, there'll be plenty of warriors here, but, you know, we're also, you know, losing some warriors that are out here, you know, that are fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just take it to the next state because they're not stopping in California. I mean, it's not just a United States plan. Like, they're trying to bring the United States down now, but this is a global plan.
Yeah.
You know, in Italy, they just changed the law. They only had to take 4 required vaccines and they changed it to 12. And they actually made it to where if the parents disagreed, then they would take custody of their kids and put them in foster care. And there were 15,000 people out protesting in Italy. And there was a huge protest the other day in Poland for the same reason. This is a global movement with the whole vaccine thing. It's not just the U.S., you know.
Right. So. Yeah, we're really at the end game. Everywhere is going to be a battleground for what's going on because they're trying to mandate all of these poisons with, like, the driver's license, with getting your passports, with traveling, you know, how they already force people to have to get all these different shots to go to a different country. And so they're at every turn of the way. And so, and it's not just with children or, you know, people with the elderly people with the dementia and the Alzheimer's. Because that is skyrocketing as well. That is a huge problem, and that's something that's not being told about. And that, I mean, I dealt with it with my father, and it was so very difficult because even though he had moments when he was lucid, he was not capable of taking care of his affairs. And yet I had to fight against the system and with his banks and everything in order to stop, you know, certain things that were happening. And it's, nobody wanted to diagnose him with the Alzheimer and the dementia either. It's insane. That whole deal. I feel for anybody that's going through that. And it seems like most people are going to contend with that at their parents, you know, as far as their end of days. And
I just went
it's
through
a horrible thing. Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Same type thing with my mom. Yeah. I mean, the pharmaceutical funded experts, that's what they are. And they're the ones that know what's best. And you're an idiot and you don't know anything, you know?
Right.
And, but part of Healthy People 2020 is, you know, they've talked to the transportation, they've had the Department of Transportation involved in this. Yes, that is their plan. Is, you know, you won't get on without your papers, or it'll all be computerized and you'll have to have had your vaccines to travel and all of this. This is where they want to go with this.
Right.
Absolutely. But people need to stand up. You know, in Italy, there's 15,000 people showing up to a protest. I'm sorry, in the U.S., it's crickets. You know, we have 72 doses over here. They're all thousands and thousands of people protesting because they went from 4 to 12. We have 72 doses over here, people. Mm-hmm. Wake the hell up, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
And crickets, you know? Nobody's everybody's just going on.
They're
drinking
sad.
Their fluoride.
Right, exactly, yeah. Drinking their fluoride, taking their pills, eating their TV microwave dinners. I mean, it's just insane. Drinking their soda pop and chewing
watching
their aspartame gum. Yeah, watching the Kardashians. It's like, wake up, people, and it's just how complacent Americans are. It's so sad. It's just because we're so spoiled here, you know. We're so spoiled. Mm-hmm. We've been so blessed, and and we're just so privileged.
Well,
and
we have been.
I just said that.
You know,
yeah.
But we're removing God from
right.
our country, you know,
right.
more and more every day, and those blessings, you know, will cease.
Yeah, they're being removed. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my goodness, we sound, you know, so bringing on the whole doom and gloom scenario, but I mean, this is the reality of it. And I know for people that don't know what we're talking about, of course, they're going to just totally think we're nuts. But the reality is that this is what we're contending with. This is what we're dealing with as world. And unless you face the truth, you can't really even understand who the enemy is and the kind of tactics they are using, because, you know, this is no joke. I mean, this is very serious. Our lives are at risk, and they are at every turn of the way trying to point us in us and trying to kill us off. And I mean, I know that sounds absolutely brutal, and it sounds insane for people that don't know, but again, this is the truth of it. And all of us have really, we've done our research. We've put in our time to study this. We've broken away from the TV and the propaganda and all that, and to really investigate this. And we're just trying to encourage other people to do the same, to warn you, and so that you can protect yourselves and your families, because otherwise it's going to be brutal for you. The reality, the suffering, and especially taking it from both of you, both of your experiences, what you've gone through with your children, and trying to work to help other parents to not make the mistakes that so many parents have in trusting the doctors and trusting the pharmaceutical industry and the whole medical establishment. And you can't do that. Your lives are at risk, and it's.
Yeah, I mean, I stand to gain nothing. I gain zero from trying to help. I'm trying to help what happened to my child not happen to your child or someone else. That's my only motive. You know, I'm not making that. Pharmaceutical companies have monetary motives. You know, the CDC is a vaccine company. They own, like, I forget how many patents. Do you know, Laurel? How many is it? JFK
RFK.
RFK, yeah.
Yeah, they're basically, they own vaccine patents, and they are basically a vaccine company, you know, but it's like, why are people trusting them, you know? Trust these parents that are telling you, you know, this is what happened, you know, my child was normal, I took my child in, and, you know, they were given these vaccines, and then they regret, you know, like, trust the parents, listen to parents. You know, parents mm-hmm. know their children. Some doctor
right.
that spends 5 minutes with your kid once a month or once every 2 months, they don't know your child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you're just another number to them. They're getting their bonuses. They get like $40,000 for each kid that's fully vaccinated or something.
Right.
I mean, they make huge amounts of money for vaccinating your kids, okay?
Schools
I
do,
mean, they're
too,
bribing
if you're
these
vaccinated.
Pediatricians. Huh?
Schools make money, too, for all the vaccinated kids.
Well, they attempted to pass. There was a bill introduced in Congress last year by a Floridian senator, and I don't think it went through. It was 2232 or something was the name of it, but House Bill 2232, if you want to look it up. But they were trying to withhold federal funds from state schools who had less than 95%, I think it was, of their children. It's called Vaccinate All the Children in America or something like that was the name of the bill. And, I mean, it came out right after SB 277, too. So, oh, isn't that convenient, right?
Mm-hmm,
I knew
right.
SB 277 was a federal bill. I knew it. I said it from the get-go. I said, this is coming from the feds. This is coming from Obama and Hillary, and this is who is coming. You know, vaccinate your kids. I'm a grandma. I know best, right? That's what Hillary
right.
said.
Uh-huh.
But, and then she has pictures with, you know who she chose to open for the DNC, the Democratic National Convention? Guess who she chose out of everyone she could have chosen to introduce her. Guess who it was? Just take a wild guess. Senator Pan.
Oh, my gosh, really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So they have ties. They're buddies. Okay?
Yeah.
This is
mm-hmm.
all one big, you know, thing. and it goes all the way up to the White House.
Right.
Now, Trump has spoken out against vaccines. I know a lot of people don't trust Trump and all of that, but, and, you know, there's been speculation that his son, Barron, appears to be autistic or, you know, has autism. I don't know if that's true. I'm not starting any rumors, but there, you know, he has made comments about vaccines causing autism and how they give kids too many and things
really?
Like that.
Wow.
So there was a lot of hope that President Trump, and then there was that talk about him putting in some kind of vaccine safety commission. I don't really know what's the latest on that yet, but, you know, there was, I know that our movement had a lot of hope that maybe Trump would do something different with the vaccine front thing, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're still sitting here waiting for the CDC whistleblower to be subpoenaed.
Right, right, yeah.
And for
yeah.
those who don't know who the whistleblower is, it's, you know, the it's the study that showed that African-American males were about 340% more likely to get autism following that the MMR vaccine if given on time as opposed to given delayed. And they, you know, the CDC whistleblower came forward and said, you know, and talked about this study and how they were told to throw it in the trash and not talk about it. They watered it down. They removed all the black children that did not have birth certificates from the study to water it down and make it look like it wasn't causing autism. That's what the CDC whistleblower is about. The vaccines do cause autism. You know,
right.
they do trigger encephalitis.
Right.
So that's what that's about. So.
Yeah, we talked about that with Barbara Lo Fisher and talking about the, you know, how all that was tied to the Simpson Wood and all that with the CDC and how they knew and hid it and the and are still hiding it, and even though it's more prevalent now and even though there are these whistleblowers that have come out, they still trying to deny it and trying to create studies, you know, these bogus studies that are funded by the pharmaceutical industries that say that there's no link between vaccines and autism or Asperger's spectrum disorders or anything of that nature. And yet it was way back in the 1930s that Eli Lilly did the study on the even the thimerosal, the mercury preservative, given to these dogs and how it made them sick and ended up killing them. And so, but you know, they had the thimerosal in the vaccines for a very, very long time. And that was just, caused so much.
Yeah. Now everybody believes that they've taken it out and that's not true.
Right.
It hasn't
right.
been taken out. It's still in there in trace amounts. They still use thimerosal in the manufacturing of all vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's actually still in flu vaccines, but they remove
right.
it apparently and leave trace amounts. Well, you know, if you ever have trace amounts of something and then you
it's
cumulatively give it to someone,
yeah.
you know, if you're giving someone a trace amount of, you know, the truth about vaccines did a really good job of this. They explained how like stevia has zero calories,
mm-hmm.
but then they said actually stevia has point, you know, it was like 0.333 or, you know, whatever it was. They said, so let's just apply this to, you know, the number of vaccines that are given. And when they did, it showed that you were getting like thousands and thousands of calories if you were to actually consume the amount of stevia that, you know, you get for vaccines. So what it is trace amounts add up and they are cumulative.
Right.
When you inject heavy metals into your body, they don't leave. And, you
right.
know, there was a deal where they inject a mere 35 micrograms of mercury will kill a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, why is it in there? Why is it in there? I mean, why
right.
are we even using it at all? I mean, it should be enough of a question at this point. But, you know, it used to be in eye drops. It used to be in teething medication, you know, and those kind of things, too. So
right. Yeah, they add it to whatever they can. Just like with, you know,
it
aspartame
sure
now. It's in all
Era.
The gum. You can't – I mean, they're putting it in everything, even in vaccines. Any kind, it seems like any kind of toxin, any kind of new discovery with any kind of toxin that is really detrimental to the health of and well-being of a human being ends up in the vaccines, you know? I mean,
well, polysorbate 80, okay? I was looking at a jar of pickles the other day, and, you know, of course, I know about polysorbate 80 because it's in vaccines, and it's a very reactive, like, it causes a lot of reactions. And, you know, what's ironic about polysorbate 80 is it's so toxic, you shouldn't even put it on your skin. And people are injecting it, right? It's also present in chemotherapy medications.
Wow.
Which is quite ironic, right? You're taking chemotherapy with polysorbate 80 in it, and you're taking vaccines, which, and it's cancer-causing.
Wow.
So, just insane. And I'm like, why is polysorbate 80 in this jar of pickles? Like, what the heck? You know,
oh, my
gosh. I read labels, you know.
Right, yeah, I just should.
But I was going to see what was in it. But, yeah.
That is insane. Is this a jar of pickles? That's
I know.
Crazy.
I should have snapshotted that with my phone because it's so unbelievable. I could not believe it was in there. And it made me think, I wonder if this is something they're adding to food, you know. Like, we just don't know. Like, they just have some food and we don't know, you know.
Right.
Did you hear they're going to spray vaccines on our fruit?
What?
Oh, yeah. They're already flying over parts of Australia and spraying the crops with vaccines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my
what I said, you know.
Gosh,
and if you grow your own, I actually recommend doing a greenhouse or something like that. So you can filter your water and actually have true organic fruits and vegetables.
Cover it.
Yeah, cover it because they're spraying. Oh, my gosh, it's so bad sometimes out here where I live, the chemtrails. I mean, you know, I used to like to open my windows because it gets cool here at night because, you know, you're close to the ocean and it cools down nice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's like I wake up in the middle of the night and my head is so heavy. It's almost like being hungover, you know, and you can hear the planes flying, you know, over the top, you know, and then you get up the next day and there's just X's, you know. I mean, the whole sky is covered with lines and chemtrails.
Yeah, it's sad, and how people don't even notice that. I mean, it's so crazy. And,
or they say, oh, those are just the planes. No, I'm sorry, there's not 100 different planes going right across my, you know, they'd crash into each other. It's the same planes going back and forth and dropping aluminum and barium and all the things they've discovered, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, the world that we are living in, the whole Brave New World, I mean, the 1984, I mean, it's crazy. This, oh my goodness, I mean, we do so greatly appreciate you, Landy. I've enjoyed sharing discussion with you. I can definitely tell that you are a very well-researched individual and that you've studied a lot of different things. And we appreciate you also advocating for the children out there, that you're out there fighting the good fight.
Very much.
Yeah, most certainly. But what would you say to the younger generation, those people that don't know anything about any of this and that think we're just totally nuts? How would you encourage them? What would you tell them to study, look at, and examine to come to understanding on some of these things?
Well, if I could say something to the younger generation, it would be to think, you know, to think for yourself, that you don't have to think like me. You don't have to think like your teacher. You don't have to think like President Trump. You don't have to, you know, but think, just please think and research everything, you know, and question everything, because we need to start teaching our kids, you know, a little bit differently. I think we have to teach them not to be so trusting, you know, because the reality is the world is not a very trustworthy place, you know, and that's the world we're living in right now. And so we need to teach them to question things and to do their own research and, you know, make sure that they listen to other parents and talk to other parents. Because I guarantee you, if you line up, you know, 50 parents, you're going to find some vaccine injuries in that group of parents, maybe even a smaller group of parents. And, you know, they say one in a million, my butt. Like, I know so many people that have vaccine injured children. I mean, it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I would just say they need to do their research and not trust and make sure that they look at those ingredients, you know, look at them, look them up, find out what they are, see that they're cancer causing, see that they're neurotoxic. Ask that question. Is that something that I want to inject into my developing newborn child? Are these chemicals things that I want to inject into my child? Ask that question. You've got to ask yourself some questions, you know?
Right. Hey, you know, it's almost to the point now with the younger generation, people that are just now getting married and that are deciding to have families, why would you want to do that? Only because with all the stuff that is happening to our children, it's like, is it even worth the risk? And, you know, this is the American dream. Everybody wants nothing more than to grow up, fall in love, have a family, you know, get good jobs and raise and develop a nice, beautiful place for your children to grow up and be nourished, and you watch them grow, take care of them. But things are so crazy and so out of hand. Children aren't growing up or developing correctly, and most children are being destroyed in the whole process of growing up in the medical establishment. And so unless you really do your research, now raising a family is so difficult just because of all this other stuff that is thrown on top of, not just, you know, having to feed your children or, you know, wake up every morning and dress them and get them ready to school. It's all this other stuff on top of it. It's they really need to do the research, because every decision is so critical, so important. And I would pose the same question to you, Laurel, as far as what would you say to the young people that are coming up, and that those that are in love, that want to raise families, and that are going to be pursuing that kind of avenue.
Absolutely. Numbers don't lie, and do the research, because the deception here is that you have to have a medical degree to know anything. And if you talk to other parents, especially those that have these disabled children, we used to be pro-vaccine, obviously, and our children were injured. And now with the hate mongering against the anti-vaxxer, well, we are parents who followed the rules of society, vaccinated our children, and now sometimes there's no recovery from that. Some parents do detox. It's a painful process to go through. You don't want to have to put your child through that. And parents love their children. They need to think about these decisions they're making. If they're going to research the house that they buy and the car that they buy, they need to research what they're going to allow a doctor with a white coat to inject, or a lab tech to inject into their newborn's developing immune system.
The other thing is it's expensive. I know that, in raising a child that has autism or Asperger's spectrum disorder, the people that try to reach out to try to get the therapy or assistance or help, or, you know, any kind of somebody to help them to kind of help recover their children from some of this toxicity. Can you talk about that as well, Landy, and as far as in the programs out there, and also just what it really costs to get this kind of help?
I mean, it's so expensive. It's a huge drain. I mean, I would think Laurel could probably speak on this, you know, since you have your children that, you know, you've had to seek services for and things like that. I don't know if you did any biomedical treatment with them. Did you, Laurel?
Well, we did. And I was thinking it was EDTA, but it wasn't. It was oral DMSA. We did the Geyer protocol. We've done the GAPS diet, which has been the most helpful of anything. But our organic food buying has taken our grocery bill from $300 a month to about $300 a week. So very expensive. And we used to do the medications, which were covered by Medicare, built insurance companies build out the roof. But we learned that nothing was made better through pharmaceutical medication. Things were only made worse.
Mm-hmm.
So the organic diet, the kombucha, the cultured vegetables, things like that, supplements, magnesium, sulfur, things like this, the detoxing, that's what has helped us. Yeah, it's been quite an expense.
You know, I applaud you for, you know, learning and having gone through all of that to do what you can for your children. But can you also make mention of, like, the daycare or the kind of the works program that you have set up for Jeremy? Do you have to pay for that? What does all that entail?
Well, he does have some services through the state, like the CDDO, that pay for the staff that comes in and for day services. That's getting harder and harder to obtain because the system is becoming overloaded.
Right.
SRS and Social Security Administration, those applying for services and benefits, I can hardly get a hold of our case manager anymore just because her caseload's so heavy, she can hardly even handle it. It takes years to get approved for anything now. But I do pay for all of Jeremy's food. I pay for his rent out of my pocket. And it's expensive to pay for your children after, you know, they usually grow up, they are 18 or 21, and they get their own jobs and their career and their own family, and you're not still supporting them. When they're 25 to 30 and you're still doing that, it's hard. It's a strain. But, I have my Yeshua, my Jesus Christ, who he's always provided for us one way or the other. Sometimes we thought, oh, are we going to make it? But we did. But it is what it is. It's just, it is a hard road for parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. I'm hoping that the EDTA, the chelation, and some of the other protocols that you're taking on now, that will make a significant difference in Jeremy's and your other children's lives. And really, all of us really need to be detoxed from the heavy metals, from, because, you know, we were vaccinated too younger, even though it's not to the degree that it is now. But in my opinion, all of us have been bombarded. You know, we've all drinking the fluoride water, the city water for so long. I'm not anymore, of course. I've changed my habits with regard to all that, but
and we were given antibiotics.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
kids and things like that. Not like they are now. I mean, you know, basically, all these vaccines are causing these kids to have to be on antibiotics chronically too, and that's another issue that's destroying their immune system. So
and then they have all these food allergies and that can't eat certain things, which, you know, all of us really need to change our diets. Well, I'm talking about as far as Americans with the fast food and all that and eating meat with every meal and all that. And so there's a lot to be learned. And we're all having to learn these things again. But it's really a challenge for this generation. I feel for my children, which they haven't had children yet, but I'm guessing at some point that they will, but I feel for them and what they're going to have to go through, and then the children of our children, you know, my goodness, with things that as messed up as they already are, and then the debt and how all that's going to come into play at some point, it's just...
we're not headed anywhere good. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
We're not headed anywhere good. And, you know, Laurel's seen it happen, you know, with her kids now being 25 and how the case worker is, the sheer number of cases and how that's just multiplied. And there's no slowing down. I mean, if somebody doesn't stop this, there's no slowing down. It's just going to keep going.
Yeah. Have y'all ever thought about leaving the States and going somewhere else? Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm actually looking to maybe doing that at one time.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was looking. Uh-huh.
Really?
That area
I was,
over there.
I was looking at and talking to, you know, like Australia and New Zealand, they have healthcare included. They don't have any debt. They speak English, and they have, as far as, you know, the quality of life, 7 of the top 10 places to live in the world are listed in Australia or New Zealand, those kind of things. But, yeah, it
seems
weird.
Like, that's where they just kidnapped that kid in Australia, that 4-year-old that his mother was giving him cannabis, and she was fighting with CPS.
Well,
I think they're getting kind of bad over there. Like,
really?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. It seems it's crazy. What options? This is such a crazy world. The fact that we're even talking about this, you know, wanting to leave our country, because I love America. You know, I'm a patriot. I love this country. I want to fight for our rights and be on the front lines. But things are just so insane. It's like if you were in Nazi Germany and you saw the writing on the wall, you know, would you have left? And this is the question that all of us really have to think about and consider.
Maybe we can find a deserted island.
Right.
Where we could all just live and start new communities, like people like us, like-minded people.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I believe that, you know, the non-vaccinated, the poison refusers will inherit the earth if we can sustain, you know, our refusal.
Right.
If we're able to continue to refuse.
Yeah.
Because they're going to, you know, everybody else.
That's what they're afraid of.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's important for us, since we are so knowledgeable on these things, to even come together in community and to start the discussion on some of these things. Because if, you know, somebody out there has the means and that also is looking for community in the same way, that would like to come together and gather and groupthink in the way that we're doing now. And so talking about this, I most certainly will mention this to our listening audience and, you know, do shows on this. And who knows if we can set it up and maybe get somebody to fund to where we could try to set up something somewhere and have some place to go, you know, where people can all come together and farm the land and go back to the kind of the old ways, you know, as far as raising our own food and getting off the grid as much as possible and supporting each other and empowering one another and doing what we can to help each other. It would be a really beautiful thing. It's almost like, you know, a regathering of the church, so to speak, because I mean, you can't, the churches now, they, you know, they don't even help the homeless, and we throw away more food every night. There shouldn't be any starvation. You look at all those buffets and everything. I mean, every night they're just throwing away tons of food and all that.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. I mean.
Well, and people need to take their kids out of the system, you know.
Right.
They start homeschooling.
Right.
You know, I know hard. It's hard to unplug, though, you know, because
right.
it changes the way you're used to living.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, but I do feel like, you know, at some point we are going to be called to start gathering together and helping each other to create alternatives. Even if it's like, you know, if some families come together and there's a different parent homeschooling a large group of kids, I mean, you know, create our own schools and that kind of thing. Create our own produce markets, our own, you know, as far as our own grocery stores, you know, as far as, you know, farming the land and stuff. That would be a much better deal and scenario than what we're dealing with and contending with. You know, have your children at home with the help of midwives and not in hospital settings where they're going to force you to vaccinate and all that. I mean, I really feel like that's where we're going to have to go if we're going to be safe and unforced and unimpeded by government and the whole New World Order and all that.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, so we just need somebody to fund a huge piece of land or an island somewhere.
And you're kind of reminding me of that movie, The Village, right now. Remember that movie where they kind of bought some land and they got a no-fly zone over it and they raised their children like an Amish community?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. It would be perfect because the children are protected. They grow up. That's all they know. They don't think they're missing out on the junk food and the fast foods and all that.
Okay, so this is
in theory, we could do a GoFundMe, I guess, and
right.
You know, you could buy your ticket to the island.
Right,
and
right.
When you had enough, you actually buy the island, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. We really need to create like a web page where people can talk about this, and you know, if there is somebody out there that has the means, and I know that there are a lot of people that do, and that would be possibly willing to support and to gather and bring together people of like mind in such manner. And so you just never know. And then also, you know, when a group of knowledgeable Torah observant, God-fearing, God-loving people want to come together and do something like this, that the Most High always makes a way, too. So it would be interesting to see what would happen anyways, you know. So definitely, I'm going to see if we can pursue this in some manner.
Time me up.
To see what happens, yeah. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if we could establish something and create a sanctuary, a refuge for
a place to feel safe.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, we would have to do it outside of the United States because otherwise we would be targeted, and then you know you'd have the whole Waco kind of thing go down. Landy, we've got like 4 minutes remaining. I want to give you chance, opportunity, words of encouragement. Let's leave this on, you know, some kind of hope or something. Last thoughts for the listening audience.
Oh gosh, we talked about so much.
I
want to leave it with join a group on Facebook. You know, if you're on the fence about vaccines, look up. There's so many. Just Google vaccines dangers. And you know, join a group, start discussions with like-minded people that are also having concerns. And then you'll also hear from people that have been down that road, like Laurel and myself, who, you know, we did the good citizen thing and we took our kids in and got them vaccinated and they ended up getting, you know, injured. And, you know, I would say just don't do it blindly. Please don't do it blindly. There's just too many. Every day I hear of another horror story with vaccine injury. And you've got to question it more. You've got to do your own research. You can't just trust it blindly. So that's what I would say to do. And join groups, get support groups, because there's more people out there than you realize that have had, you know, a vaccine injury occur to themselves or a family member.
Right. And, you know, the other thing with regard to where we are as far as the world and the situation here in America and abroad, people are fed up and people are looking for change and want direction, want answers. And there's an overwhelming sense of something's not right. And so people, even those that have refused to pull their heads out of the ground, that don't want to and wanted nothing to do with conspiracy or examination of it, everybody is being forced to reassess, to reconsider, and to rethink things. And so once again, sister, we appreciate you. If you would give out your website, your contact information, anything that you'd like to share with that regard.
Okay, on Facebook, I'm Landy Crier, C-R-I-E-R. My website is dangersofvaccines.com. I'm also administrator for stopmandatoryvaccination.com as well as backtruth.com. So, you know, you can, there's lots of information on all of those sites. If you have any question at all about vaccines, you can go to those sites. they're very thorough. They have stories of vaccine injury and people that have been through this. And there's tons and tons of testimonials on there, especially on Stop Mandatory Vaccination. So lots of information there for you.
Thank you, Sister Laura. I want to give you a chance for final comment, too, and anything that you'd like to say. We got like 90 seconds.
Yes, and I'll add that when you find Landy, you'll find a lot of videos of moms and dads and grandparents talking about their own personal testimony, and it's really something to take a look at, and it's not hard to find other parents. So good luck, everybody.
All right, we appreciate all of you. Thank you for taking the time to join us this evening. Thank you, Landy, for joining us. We appreciate
you,
sister. Good luck in your endeavors to get out of Cali. And we'll let you know about the island and everything.
Yeah, keep
on
the loop,
please. All right, Landy, thank you so much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. We'll do it again.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed. Have a good night. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, hon.
Bye-bye. Good night, all. Shalom.
Good night.